behold now the behemoth.
Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Giant Behemoth.
1959.
Directed by Eugene Lorre? Is that right?
Douglas Hickox and Eugene Lorre.
Yeah. So, with once again, just like Black Scorpion, I did not know that Willis O'Brien was involved with the special effects.
Oh, this came out as a surprise to you now? Oh, really?
Yeah. I think I wanted this up higher on our list or to watch it because we enjoyed Gorgo. I really enjoyed Gorgo. And it turned out it was like the same director. So I'm like, oh, cool. Let's watch that. And then when I might have known it was Willis O'Brien. Maybe I thought it was Harryhausen. Maybe I got it mixed up with the Beast.
Maybe. Yeah, we were talking because we were talking about the – what was the last one we saw?
With the new
creatures.
Yeah.
And then we finding out that these were like leftovers from King Kong.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But right off the bat, man, this movie is really boring. I'm really bored by this movie.
Oh, you know what's weird? You know, sometimes because like we group when because so it's no secret that we watch movies two at a time.
Yeah.
And we record two at a time. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, it's funny how you sometimes find things that connect the two movies that we don't think have any real connection other than the fact that they're just part of our podcast. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there'll be a connection. It was interesting how both of these title are based in Bible verses. Gamera Attack on Legion, which we just did. Referred to episode 78. It is 78, right?
I think it's 75.
Gamera. Should I just say it again?
No, I mean, go for it. It doesn't
matter. Anyways. Oh, yeah.
It was our last episode. Right.
Yeah, our last episode. So that when they had, like, you know, the verse about that we are Legion. And then in this one, there is, you know, the Giant Behemoth Bible verse as well. It's kind of weird that those just kind of ran back to back.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that seems similar, if I may just, I just thought of this now, was that thing when the behemoth, he shoots out radiation.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like when they would shoot the Legion and the air would shoot out of it.
Oh, the little ring things?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, the like hydraulic thing. I see. Yeah, this movie does also something that happened in the last few like American black and white monster movies, I think. Monster that Challenged the World and Black Scorpion, where someone gets scared to death. But I don't know if it's scared to death or if it's that radiation ring. It might be the radiation ring, but I just remember seeing
he got irradiated. Yeah.
Yeah, he's screaming and then just dies. But that might be from.
Oh, yeah, this is great. There's a lot of like the people who they get irradiated and they turn into paintings.
Yeah, and the paintings aren't really defined.
Aren't enough, figure out what's going on.
It just looks like a pile of leaves, but maybe they should have added more like skeleton structure so I knew what I was looking at. Because it seemed like the person, before they turned into the painting, turned into a completely different shape. So I didn't know where the arms were or the legs were.
Yeah. And they became more black and white.
Yeah.
Like they became like black and white instead of like grayscale. It was like kind of like, whoa, like what, where do they go?
Yeah.
Like you can kind of, it's almost like they became camouflage in their clothes.
Yeah. I could put one of these in the album art for this episode, but people aren't going to know what it is. Like, it's not. It if just you doesn't saw make it, sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wrote down white it goo. Opens.
Yeah. It yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, first of all, okay, it opens in, like, this thing that's kind of like in, like, the old Warner Brothers cartoons when they try to make someone seasick and they keep moving the they have a picture of, like, the sea, and they kind of keep wiggling it and moving, rocking it back and forth to make it look like the boat is pitching and hawing. That's kind of like the opening of this movie. So the main guy in this is a marine biologist.
Right.
Who kind of looks like the ventriloquist from the Twilight Zone show.
I was trying to... He looked like somebody. So the ventriloquist, not the dummy.
The dummy. Yeah, the dummy.
There's always people I see, like, famous people where it's like, oh, they look like a Thunderbird. Like, they belong in the Thunderbird show. Which I don't know if it's mean or not, but I have example. Well, I have one example, but I'm not going to say it because I feel like it's mean.
From this movie or from...
Just in general. I like when people... Yeah, I like when people look like Thunderbirds. Like Walton Goggins. Like, he looks like he belongs in the show Thunderbirds.
I feel like we've had this conversation.
Have we? Yeah.
I feel like
I bring it up a lot, but I love it because I want there to be, like, a live action Thunderbirds.
You have a whole campaign about Walton Goggins being a Thunderbird.
Yeah. there's too much fish stuff in this movie. There's a lot of fish stuff going on. Now, have I mentioned this on this show? My whole thing with fish? I had to have.
That you're afraid of fish?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Did we talk about the show?
I think so.
Oh.
I feel like I've had to have. And I don't...
Oh, yeah. Because there's that... Remember I sent you that clip of that giant fish on, like... It's like a teeter-totter thing, and they keep trying to bounce the fish off the board.
Yeah.
Were you okay with that one?
No, I'm okay with it. Like, that's the thing, is I'm okay with looking at fish stuff. I don't like being near fish. So, like, I could see, like, a fish bowl, but I won't stick my hand in it. This is the thing.
That's not a common thing.
People being afraid of fish? There's, like, a...
No, just sticking your hand in a random fish bowl.
Well, if there's a fish in it, yeah. I wouldn't want to do that.
Well, I don't think people really do that. I mean... Unless it's their fish and they're taking care of something.
But if, like, the fish falls out of the fishbowl, that also is not cool.
Having to put it back in. Oh, okay.
Like, I don't want to be... just let it sit I don't want to be in the same environment as fish.
Okay.
So I can be outside of an aquarium. But I don't want to be... I don't want the aquarium being knocked over or me being inside the aquarium. And the ocean takes me forever to get in.
It takes a while to get in.
Yeah, and it's not even sharks.
You need to work up your courage.
It's not even sharks. To do it. Yeah. But there's a lot of fish stuff in here. It didn't bother me, but I just noticed.
They had a lot of fish, fish.
I started to get triggered.
On the beach. Oh, really?
No. No, it's just something I noticed.
At the beginning, I wrote, what's going on? Aliens? Ghosts?
Well, I knew it was a dinosaur. But what's weird was...
Because we saw the poster, but it's like,
But yeah, what's weird is with the way that the radiation was going, I'm like, it doesn't look like it's coming from a source. Like, it looks like it would come from an antenna, maybe, but not from a monster. Unless the monster had an antenna, I guess. But the radiation, even when we see the behemoth with the radiation coming off of it, it didn't make sense where it was coming from.
Yeah.
I feel like the radiation should have been in the shape of the behemoth and coming off of it that way instead of just being a circle in the middle of the screen.
Yeah, like it kind of... Yeah, it's like it's coming from his heart or something. It's
His shoulder.
It's like Spidey senses from the cartoon or something.
But it was never coming off like just his head or his mouth or his... eyes, it'd be like on his shoulder, his back. It would just be wherever the middle of the screen was. But if it like came off of his body, like in the shape of his back or something, that would make more sense. The fish.
Yeah, because I was sure. I was like, what? He shot a hole in it and the radiation shot out.
Yeah, it didn't make sense. I feel like it was an added effect after the fact.
Yeah. Well,
obviously it was, but it was like an afterthought. Like
same thing with the underwater thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The fish where they were where they took like the flounder and they were like filleting it for science. I thought it was kind of funny because they were just like filleting it, like getting it ready for dinner, but not really. I don't know.
I wrote Matthew Broderick. I thought they looked like Matthew Broderick.
A lot of science talk to the point where I'm like, is this real stuff? Why are they going into detail about this sort of X-ray machine where it wasn't the same as a normal X-ray? Like they put the fish on it and then remove the fish and then put it under this thing and it would like highlight the radiation in the veins or whatever.
Right. It like would leave a mark on the glass.
I'm like, they sure are talking about this a really long time that it made me wonder if it was a real thing. But I didn't bother looking it up. But it seemed like this dude, this marine biologist, just had so many things to talk about science-wise. And I felt like, can this guy get stepped on? Or can we get like a building collapse? Or it's funny because we, like in both Black Scorpion and the Monster That Challenged the World, they would have these like awkward moments where they would like the main character would go on a date. And in this movie, I felt like I'd rather see that than hear some other scientific mumbo jumbo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, oh, I need something different. Cause this guy was just going around filling in everybody on the science of everything.
Yeah, I kind of dug the eccentric paleontologist guy.
Uh-huh.
He was and how excited he was. Oh, there's also the when they show have you seen a footprint like this, and they show the footprint and it's such a like cartoon footprint.
Oh yeah, it's like a map painting. The first glimpse that we get of the behemoth is like a puppet. Like we have a puppet one, and then for some shots we have like a stop motion one. And the puppet, I remember looking goofy. Like it reminded me of Land of the Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's 1958-9, I guess, but still. It didn't look threatening. It reminded me of like the old kids book Danny and the Dinosaur.
Sure.
And it wasn't interesting enough. And I feel like maybe that's why the whole radiation things coming out of it came about in the production.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Because it just wasn't.
I think they definitely set out to have this, you know, this is the era of the movies about that nuclear power is scary and bad and nuclear bombs are bad and, you know, we shouldn't do this. So I would assume the radiation was there from the beginning.
Okay. It's just kind of cheap.
I like how they talked about how foggy it was. Uh-huh. Like when same thing when that professor, you know, it's like he'd be the Sam Neill character of this movie. he wants, can't wait to see it. He really wants to see one in real life.
Yeah.
And they're like, and he goes up in a helicopter and it's clear. It's totally clear.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, it's so foggy.
There was another thing where they were in a boat. They were in on the bridge of a boat, I guess. And the dude kept calling down to the engine room. Like, he had one of those things that you slide back and forth to tell the engine room, you know, either full steam ahead or whatever.
Right.
But the boat was, like, super tiny when they cut to the outside of the boat.
Right.
And it made zero sense. Like, it was, like...
Where do you fit everybody?
Yeah. What? Like, it was a boat that, like, it was like the Orca in Jaws. But he had a whole thing for like he was calling down to an engine room. And I feel like there was like second unit stuff obviously wasn't on the same page, like what with the fog, like whoever was supposed to shoot the other stuff didn't get the memo. Mm-hmm. Like this movie felt really like a cash grab, or like it's a quick, like it was done like really quickly or cheaply. It definitely didn't feel like Gorgo. Like it felt really slapped together, where things just didn't match up, or like their special effects budget fell short, and so they didn't get it. I don't know. It was just weird. Just every, like a lot of stuff was just weird. And I'd like to know more about it, but at the same time, I was really bored by this movie that I don't really have an interest in looking up more. Like, it's funny how when we watch these movies and then we talk about them, obviously, but it's funny when we start sending text messages before we do our recording. Like, oh, hey, look at this behind the scenes thing. Or, hey, look at this picture. And we can tell that way that the movie is exciting or a good one.
Yeah.
Like, we can't wait to talk about it. But we do a lot more research. This one, I'm like, I'm not going to go looking into this, why this movie is the way it is. But I just am, you know, I'm speculating that it was kind of a quick cash grab or something.
There's definitely like the boat of tack is really leaves you wanting more. If you could call it a puppet, cause it didn't even, it was like, it didn't change. It was just like, basically it was a head.
Yeah, like a head maybe on a pole.
Like a head on a stick, and they had all these extreme close-ups of it. It being wet. The boat was cool. They had little toy cars on the boat to slide off. I liked that. But the thing, like the thing with the neck didn't move. They would just kind of like push it up against the boat, like basically like you're playing with a toy.
Yeah, like in a bathtub.
Yeah, that's basically what it was.
The funny thing is like I'm thinking about like the giant claw, and as stupid as the giant claw is, it's got personality.
Yeah,
and it's fun to look at. That
doll didn't have anything.
The giant behemoth didn't have anything. It was just, it was a brontosaurus, but yeah, it's crazy. I'd like to know why. It looks so cheap, but at the same time, I don't care.
Well, it's just that part. Like it got better later, but I think it's what it was is could it not get wet?
Maybe.
Like, yeah. The claim, whatever the animated version can't get wet.
Yeah.
So they had hard version made.
What's funny?
Like, they almost didn't match. They didn't look like the same creature.
Yeah, So when we watched Black Scorpion, it was like Willis O'Brien's name by itself, and the effects are awesome, and there's a lot of effects. In this movie, he was like one of like, I don't know, like six people or something listed in the effects, and the effects were just like not good. So there must have been some sort of thing where it was half-assed or done quickly, or, you know, they just got a bunch of guys to kind of like get it done as fast as they could, because I don't think there was a lot of Willis O'Brien stuff in it that I noticed. Like, there's stuff, some stuff later in like the city and stuff, but it didn't seem like they kept showing like the same shot where it was like a stop motion shot of it walking like right towards the camera, and then you'd see like the city skyline kind of going behind him. Something's up with it, this movie. And I don't know if it's because back then they didn't have like home video, so movies were kind of disposable and they just wanted to get something out and were trying to capitalize on some sort of monster movie craze or something. but it seemed really slapped together. I don't know.
You know, there's I just kind of to check a quick look to see if there's any information, and like I was like, there's a thing that says in the Video Movie Guide 2002, they mentioned the stop action animation was made, but with the proviso that the film monster wasn't bad, but Willis O'Brien was clearly working on a low budget. Maybe it's just that. Maybe just budgetary that they couldn't, you know, pay for the time and the work to do the proper boat attack, and they just kind of had to cut some corners.
Yeah.
Man, but the boat attack, all the close-ups of people's faces, the reaction stuff, and then all those people jump in the water.
Yeah.
Like the way that it's all cut together.
It's kind of fun. And then there's
the little girl, and then later you just see the doll floating.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, first there's like the hand. The hand sticks out of the water. It's almost like where they do the 1, 2, 3, and like the hand just kind of sinks down, and they all get those like kind of weird scars.
Yeah.
They cut to, then there's like the whole news report, and there's a shot of like a tea truck. There's like a truck where people get a hot cup of tea at, and there's people listening to the radio there, but it's like this little, like, you know, like, yeah, it said like a good cup of tea on the side of the truck. Yeah. And then there's also the people having dinner, and the old lady's like, oh, fiddlesticks, to the radio. I didn't sure what that meant. Like, what is her attitude? Is it that she doesn't believe it, or she's like, enough, we're having dinner, or I don't know what her...
Well, fiddlesticks is just like, it's like you're bothered, but like the minimal amount of being bothered.
I don't know, yeah. Or maybe it means more in Britain. Okay, so then we finally get the dinosaur rampage.
Yeah. And the dog...
I wrote... I wrote a note saying, like, when he crushes the car, I was like, now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And then they used that same car crushing footage like 3 times.
Yeah, it's something was up. It must have been budgetary.
The animated stuff was great. Like, like maybe it's that. It's like they did it. They did the ending first. And then they run out of money, and so now they have to, okay, we do the water attack in another way.
Right. Let's make a puppet head. Someone else get on that. Like,
all those old people getting irradiated.
Yeah. What was funny was they just kind of people would just kind of stop and watch it go by.
Yeah, they would stop, turn around, look. Well, what happens is, like, you know, these people are going to get irradiated, so they have to keep stopping and looking. So they can get all this use out of them. Man, that close-up with the tongue. It's like they did so many extreme close-ups of the mouth. Even the animated one. It was just like, you know, part of me. One thing they did when they used the footage of him crushing the car was sometimes they'd reuse it. They would crop the film in so it looked like it was a different shot. Of him crushing the same car, and then they would have the wider shot, so they would cheat a little bit like that. So I wonder if that's what the extreme close-ups of the mouth is too.
Oh, maybe,
because they seem kind of out of focus.
Yeah, and it's hard to say if it's just like because it's an old movie and transferred over to years, that's the best look we can get. But yeah, that makes more sense.
There's so much falling, like the guy's falling, like having the camera on the ground and the person falls into it. I do like the wall collapsing on the people.
Yeah, that's something we saw in Gorgo.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Eugene,
it makes it dangerous. Yeah, it was good. It had the same kind of panic in the streets really well.
Yeah, that's like the Eugene Laurie is good at that. The Gorgo had the same thing, and I think Gorgo also had a wall collapsing on people as well. So he really enjoyed doing that effect, and I think that works. It's funny because I'm sure he does all this stuff and then hands it over to people and then it's out of his hands. It probably could have been a better movie if they had a bigger budget for some of the effects, but some of that rampaging was really good.
The power line stuff was great.
Yeah. I don't know when I put this note in, where it happens in the movie, but it's the PB7 blinking guy. it was a dude on, I think, on a radio who kept saying PB7, or was looking for PB7 or trying to get a hold of PB7. It was a military dude, and he would blink every single time he would say PB7, and it was like mesmerizing. I'll have to post that, because it just made me laugh. The thing I did, they take care of the giant behemoth, seems pretty unceremoniously.
Yeah.
And the thing I kind of liked was, so all the fish stuff at the beginning was setting up the ending, which I liked. I thought that was kind of cool, because a lot of times we don't get an epilogue in these movies. They'll destroy the monster, and you'll get a group shot of our main characters, and then one person will say something to the effect of, like, this is why we shouldn't be messing with atomic power, or this is why we need to take care of the planet. And then we'll just say the end, like, immediately after the monster dies.
Right.
So it's kind of cool that we get an epilogue here where it's the two guys, it's like the scientist and the other dude, and they're talking about, wait, is it a dude? I forget. But they're talking about how we're done and we finished. And then, like, is it the radio that says they've been seeing a lot of dead fish showing up on the shores of America?
Right.
Which isn't, like, it's not uncommon to see, like, a big question mark to be continued, or, oh, here we go again. But we don't really see it a lot in these movies, these, like, American movies.
Yeah, it's the two men in the car.
Yeah.
And it comes on the radio.
Yeah.
And it's the, this ain't over, but the movie's over.
The movie's over. It's setting up the sequel.
Right.
Which I'm assuming didn't happen.
The even gianter behemoth.
I mean, I don't know.
But wait, okay, so the two-man submarine, they go into the little submarine.
Oh, yeah.
And they build a bunch of suspense of, like, Behemoth just keeps making destruction, but they still got to do all this work making the thing and putting the torpedo with the thing on the end of it.
Right.
And then they had to do that thing where they had to bend the wire cone hanger to do that special antenna thing on it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like all that.
Oh, my God.
And meanwhile, people are just getting crushed. And they're like, but this is hard work. It's going to take us a while.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you want it done or you want it done right?
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, people are in the streets staring at a behemoth, radiation spewing off of it.
People are covering their faces that are covered in radiation welts.
Yeah.
Behemoth highlights him holding the car in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Swinging it around, and then dropping in the water was good. I kind of liked him swimming when you finally got him swimming from underwater.
That was fine. The part where they were in the helicopter and they looked down.
That was not good.
The animated one.
You're underwater. Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
And he's just kind of like wiggling a little bit and looking from side to side.
That was probably one of the dudes mentioned in the opening credits for the special effects. Because that's the thing.
They'd be more concerned with all the water coming in the submarine.
Yeah.
But it definitely was like reminding me of that joke that Stephen Wright had done ages ago where he talked about that he likes to have the bathtub be in the bathtub and turn on the shower and act like he's in a submarine that's been hit. and after I heard that joke, I was little. I would play that in the shower.
That's so good. That reminds me of that Get a Life episode.
Oh, yeah.
Chris sends away for a submarine when he's a kid. And then it finally shows up.
Submarine, and it's the
it fills up the whole bath.
They block out the bath, they fill it up, and then thing comes crashing through the ceiling into the kitchen. Yeah, and he's doing the Quinn line from Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they had the hats. Yeah, it's good.
I kind of wish I had a bathtub. I do, but it's not like I can't have like boats and stuff, and I can't play in it.
I know. I kind of wish I had a big bathtub too.
Yeah, because seeing the giant behemoth swimming around definitely felt like I would want a toy of that.
Or like those giant tall bathtubs that you walk into. It's like for older people.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, those sound like fun. It's like
it's got a door. Yeah.
I was like, man, how fun. Yeah, I have a bathtub, but it's like, I can't really use it.
Yeah.
It's like, I can soak my feet in it.
Yeah.
But it's just like Becky can use it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't have like a good bathtub to like fully soak in.
Like Francis from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah.
Where he's got like the battleships and he's like got the monsters and he's like,
right.
Or he's pretending he's Godzilla and he's like eating the guys and spitting them out.
Right. Yeah, like a hot tub bathtub.
That would be a fun show doing a, like kaiju scenes in non kaiju movies.
Oh, like a special of honorable mentions.
Yeah. I don't have anything to say about this movie. I was really bored by it. And
yeah, you can skip it.
Like, I feel like with Black Scorpion and Monster Challenge the World and the Giant Claw, like, it feels like the story and the characters are a little more interesting. Like, I like the scientist, or the biologist guy, but it was just spouting so much science stuff where I'm like, unless this is real and I'm learning something, like, I'm not really getting anything out of it. So, I don't know. It's not for me. You can probably go on YouTube and look up, like, the Willis O'Brien clips and stuff, so that might be fun to do. But sitting through the movie, it's not terribly exciting.
Yeah, like just skip to like the last 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's where the good stuff is.
Yeah. Next episode, I'm excited. I'm excited. Listen.
You're excited.
I'm a big fan
because you haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it. I'm a big fan of Charlize Theron. I'm a big fan of Bill Paxton.
I'm a big fan of gorillas.
Yeah. So what can go wrong? We're watching Here Mighty we Joe Young,
1998.
Yep. I'm excited. I'm excited. I can't wait. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to feel dated. I'm sure it will. But is it a guy in a suit?
I remember there's a really, really cute moment at the beginning.
Oh, is there baby
no,
Joe?
No, it's not quite, but it's a really cute moment in the beginning. And I remember seeing clips from the making of it. I mean, I saw this movie. I saw it in theaters.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I've seen it more than once. But
CG ape or is it a guy in a suit that's added in through CG? To make him look bigger.
Oh, I think it's that. I think it's.
Okay. That's.
I think
cool.
It's a. I don't think it's CG.
It seems too early for CG fur. Because I mean, like CG fur, I think was really tough to do at that time. It's got to be a guy in a suit. I think it's like a Rick Baker thing or a Sam Winston. But then they made him bigger in the effects. We'll find out. Find out on the next episode.
They do things like there were like things they would do in the practical to make it like, so they had stuff like when they're shooting it, they would do things to like the practical cars, like because they're like real sized cars.
Yeah.
And then
maybe a giant puppet hand. We'll see. I can't wait. I don't remember. Hey, maybe you'll be pleasantly surprised. Maybe. You misremembered your feelings on it.
Maybe I'm just being influenced by like the general consensus that this probably isn't great.
Maybe.
Maybe I'll love it.
Maybe after Giant Behemoth, you'll have a new appreciation for it because you'll be like, well, at least it's not Giant Behemoth. We'll see. That's the next episode. Check that out. I don't know if I'll be able to have it up on kaijupod.com. But go ahead and check there. You'll have links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And yeah, until next time, I'm going to go watch this giant behemoth walk past me and cover my face.
I'm going to go get a cup of tea from the good cup of tea truck.
Sounds good. I could go for a cup of tea right now. A good cup of tea, though.